Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle. Because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's not easy being Jeff Lewis.
I've been working on my memoir. It's called Burning Bridges, Overcoming a Life of Privilege, Fame, and Power. I have enough of my own therapy to deal with. I don't want to hear about yours. And I said, you're right. I'm very famous, and I deserve special treatment.
Jeff Lewis has issues.
Hey, it's Jeff Lewis, and I have issues. In today's episode, Ronnie Karam and Ben Manticore join the show. We recap BravoCon and talk about gambling with Heather Gay. Plus, I add a stop to the apology tour. I could not believe that you have been doing your podcast for, is it 12 years? Is that possible?
12 years.
So podcasts were in existence 12 years ago?
Yeah, they sure
amazingly.
Were.
They
barely.
Were. Yes.
Really? And we still had pagers then, I think.
Yes.
No?
It was actually, our podcast was released on a pager.
Yes. Our first episode was just numbers that you read upside down that spelled out boner.
So now you guys are 5 days a week.
Yeah.
Correct. And so you have your podcast, but then you were also explaining to me that if you're videoing every single show. So you have a recap show, mostly a Bravo recap show.
Yeah, we kind of re-improvise the show. So we'll take notes and then just replay all the characters with each other and stuff, like little girls playing dolls.
I mean, it's a very successful podcast. And my guess is because you guys were in first, because so many people do these you know, recaps now.
What a lovely guess. What a flattering guess, Jeff.
No, because, Jackie Schimmel, for example, she has a very huge podcast.
She does, yeah.
But she's been doing this since the beginning.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, we were lucky. We got in at the ground floor, and we just sort of, like, wedged our way into pop culture. Pop culture, quote unquote. It's just us. But, like, we just, like, forced our way in. We just kept on churning out episodes, and I feel like sometimes, what's that old cliche, like sometimes it's just about showing up, but like that's kind of what we did. We just showed up and we did it and we have fun with it, and you know, we just built it.
I think that expanding to 5 days a week was a smart move, and I noticed that when you do that, then it becomes like a regular routine for people to tune into you every day. And I think that's why Andy now went, I think he's 4 days a week with a 1 day recap, right?
Right.
Because you want to be that destination where people, you know, they're in the car every day and they turn on their radio and there you are. Mm-hmm. And because the days, let's just say we just did a 2 week show, our 2 day a week show, people would listen to someone else the other day and they may stay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there's actually so much competition out there. I actually have this theory that all the podcasts help each other. I don't think it's like the old network TV thing where if you're watching one show, you're not watching another show. But truthfully, there are a lot of shows out there. So like you don't want to give people an opportunity to be like, you know, Trappins was good, but now I've decided to move on to this thing. So we just sort of like force ourselves onto everyone every day.
Do you find that you do you almost like curate programs for your listeners? So you tell them what to listen to, what not to listen to or watch?
Like to watch?
Yeah.
Listen, we're trash people. I don't know that I have any kind of taste of what's good or bad. A lot of the times what we love the most is not what the audience loves.
Yeah.
We loved Real Girlfriends of Paris. In Paris. We thought that was so good. Gallery Girls, kind of classics like that.
Dance
and the audience does not care. And I don't think they're going to listen to us, you know, tell them. I don't know that we're influencers in that way. We're just shit talkers. So if anybody really just wants to sit with their gay best friend and be really rude about people in a fun way, they come to us.
Yeah.
And then, so who are your least favorite? Because you guys, again, you mostly recap Bravo shows.
Yeah.
Let's start with the negative. Yeah, what are your least favorite shows and least favorite Bravo celebrities?
You know, I have to say I was not a big fan of the reboot of New York. I'm sorry, everyone.
No, it's fine. Why, Ben?
I just thought it was dull. I didn't care so much. I was trying to care. I felt like when they went to Anguilla, it became more interesting. Mm-hmm. But I just felt like the show didn't really have a pulse. And maybe that's because they're all getting to know each other. And maybe next season, I will respond to it better. But I really struggled to care about anything that was happening. I really did not. Like, every time Aaron had a problem with someone, it was such a dull expression of villainy. It was just like so, like, oh
but
my
the
god,
cheese.
A cackling hack.
You know, well, it started off well with the cheese. I mean, I give them credit. I loved the pettiness of the cheese fight, but then it just got. It was trying too hard, you know. And Housewives just needs to be fun. They need to be crazy and more. They're all too normal.
So do you think they're all taking themselves a little too seriously? I've noticed that. You know, I've watched everything, and I've been around for a long time.
What?
And I've seen that. I've never seen. I said this. I've never seen the fame go to people's heads as quickly as it did with Real Housewives of New York. The new one. I've never. Yeah, they're all about it.
Mm.
And usually, it takes a couple seasons, I think.
Well, you know what?
I do
love Jessel.
All about it. I want to know more about what I'm sorry to interrupt you.
This is what we do.
I just
want
to know.
Podcast.
Yeah, I need to know. I need to know more. What do you mean it's gone to their head? Like, are they acting snottier now? Or
I just feel like there's a lot of self-importance. I think there's a lot of teams now involved, publicists and managers and all of that. Because we've tried to book a few of them.
Oh.
And it's it just seems like a seventh, you know, season housewife.
You know what? There's also too much like glam. I cannot stand glam on The Real Housewives. That is my biggest pet peeve. I don't find it interesting. I don't care when a housewife comes down a staircase and shows off her Versace. Like, I'm not tuning in for that. And when I have to watch that at length, it bothers me. And so I felt like watching like endless sort of like foyer fashion shows, really, I felt like that was something I was witnessing a lot on New York. And so that just gets under my skin.
I don't know why I like it. I like the clothes and the jewelry and all of that and the looks and the, I mean, Dorit is, you know.
I love it. Yeah. I love her looks.
Her looks.
That is the chicest.
And I get why they would bring a glam team. I mean, you're filming a TV show. Like, you would want that.
Yeah, I mean, I understand why. I want to see more scenes of dinner parties that go awry. I want to see, you know, like what they're doing on Salt Lake City right now, to me, is next level.
Yeah,
that is like you get the
chairs
camp.
In a parking lot. Yes. That's what we need.
Yeah.
Folding chairs in a parking lot, a box of Franzia, and just women stuck in the snow trying to make it happen. You know?
Was that last week's episode? It was. I thought that was a strange place to hang out.
It was.
They do it all the time.
Like the tailgate party.
A pile of brown snow behind them.
Yeah.
But I was watching Beverly Hills. I thought it was like absurd that they're having the tea party in the park for the two of them to have a 4-second conversation. I was like, this is like the most unrealistic, unnecessary setting.
That's the point of Beverly Hills, right? It's so stupid.
They go
so
Beverly
rich.
Hills. They go to a traffic median next to Santa Monica Boulevard with a $5,000 picnic, and on Salt Lake City, they go to a wet parking lot with some Trader Joe's cheese.
Yeah, Salt Lake City is the Big Lots of the Housewives.
So
I was watching Beverly Hills. I think it was either last night or the night before, episode, I think it was two or three.
Two.
And so Kyle is driving Dorit to the Beverly Wilshire.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like a very detailed person. So I noticed that when she gets in the car, you could see Kyle's Birkin in the back seat, like in the center.
Mm-hmm.
But then they're like driving and talking, and then the Birkin's gone. And then there's another bag there.
Oh, no.
There's another bag there. And then there's no bag. And then it's like, Every time the seed came back, it was different. And I've just thought to myself, well, how many times do you guys pull over?
Right.
Like, how long was this scene that you're just driving around? And then I think it was dark by the time they got there.
It was. I noticed that. It was dark. And I was like, are the three men trailing this car who have to reach $10,000?
Well, and what was in that scene? Nothing happened in that scene. Just like, what?
So, right.
How are things with Mo?
What are we doing? Where are we going, Kyle?
She didn't really love that surprise, did she?
She didn't.
No, she didn't. But I loved it.
She tried. She tried. And I loved the random Berlin of it all. It's like, ladies and gentlemen, Berlin. I was like, what does Berlin have to do with anything?
Not from Top Gun, Berlin.
Not from Pretty Woman.
Not from Pretty Woman. Yeah. From Top Gun, not Pretty Woman. Berlin.
That was what was available.
And then, like, here's this gorgeous $5 million necklace. It's not yours. It's on loan for the next 6 hours.
Yeah.
I think I'd rather have a real gift that I could keep, even if it, you know, if it's not $5 million, that's fine.
Yeah.
But I don't think I want to wear a
rental.
Yeah. And I like that they went all the way downstairs to the restaurant for him to give her the necklace, and they went back upstairs again. You guys didn't even have a cocktail down there.
That made no sense.
Yeah.
I'm surprised, though, that he didn't say, I bought this for you, babe, just so they could claim it was stolen 5 minutes later and claim that insurance. Because, girl, I haven't seen somebody so good with claiming insurance fraud since Lisa Vanderpump left the show. Like, you go, Dury. That's a big move.
Ooh.
She's getting robbed all the time. Do you really believe that she just happened to go to the bank and get $10,000 and put it in my grocery cart, and then suddenly it was taken? She's been robbed 90,000 times on this show.
Well, okay.
That's why she blocked you.
Yeah, that's probably why she blocked me.
Well, that's a good thing. That's a good thing about never being followed.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Just flip them all off. They don't know.
So what are the other shows that you... So you've said you do not like Real Housewives of New York. What do you not like, Ronnie?
Gosh, I actually like almost all of them. Right now, Winter House is not great. But
Winter House is terrible. Sorry. Winter House is the worst.
It's the ones where they're trying to do... I like the vacation shows for the most part. I love the Real Housewives vacation shows. But now they're doing it with the younger cast.
You mean the Ultimate Girls Trip or no?
Yeah, I like those. No, but I'm talking about Winter House, which is the spinoff of Summer House. Do you know what this is?
I've never seen either one of them.
So basically, they get the younger cast members and they put them together in a house, and then... It's just 2 weeks of trying to watch these, like, mediumly attracted people trying to bone each other for airtime, you know? Mm. And they're not very interesting. I don't like that one very. It's a lot of woos and peeing in the snow.
Yeah.
Mm. Woo!
Now, what about BravoCon? You did not go, Ben.
I did not go to BravoCon.
Why?
I had an appendectomy. And my boyfriend's parents were in town, so I was like, you know what? I don't think it's probably the smartest thing for me to be tromping around all of Las Vegas with this, like, you know, abdominal scar, like, you know, issue here.
Mm-hmm.
So I just, like, I sat on my sofa, I watched all the videos, I watched all the scandals, and I made little videos at home pretending I was at BravoCon. You know, that's my form of attending. And I just supported Ronnie from afar, from my sofa.
What panels did you like? What didn't you like? Who were you excited to see?
I was just there to hang out. So I went to your party. It was really fun.
On Thursday night.
Yes, and laughed. Thank you for having me.
Oh, sure.
And that was super fun.
I had FOMO about that. Sure.
I went to, I kind of walked into some of the panels, but I thought they were boring. I didn't like them. And I never looked at the schedule, so I didn't know you were doing one. Sorry. But you picked me up after, because I was lost between Uber stations. So I heard about your panel from you on the way to the hotel.
Because I was in trouble.
You were in trouble with everybody. And yeah. Of course you were.
Because some Bravo exec, I guess, had said to Michael Beck that I blew it.
You blew it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
With your panel?
Yeah, I blew it.
Okay.
What, they're not going to invite you back for another panel?
Well, they have a whole year to forget about it. But what happened?
Let's talk about something else.
Yeah. you're like the SiriusXM star. Of course you'll have a panel next year.
I just think they maybe thought I was a little harsh, and, you know, I went off script.
Did you see
just
the...
14 questions?
Well, I mean,
I just skipped 14 questions.
Did you
that's
see
all.
The questions people were asking the Bravo celebrities from the audience?
They got warmed up, because the first couple of days were kind of snoozy, I think, and then towards the end, people really started getting bitchy towards the Bravo stars.
Really,
it was great. Yeah,
they should put you on day three. I think that first panel, day one, it was a little harsh for
them.
Well,
I thought the moderators were a little soft, frankly.
Well, they were going on script, I think, right? Because you're saying you went off script. And I think they're literally reading off their cards. And I don't know, fans want juicy stuff.
Yeah.
They want dirt.
I think the red flag to them should have been they wanted me to wear an IFB, which so they could talk to me in my ear.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, this is not going to go well. And then she said, oh, I remember the producer was like, okay, well, then I'm going to communicate with you on prompter. I said, yeah, that's better. I said, because the IFB is going to, it'll confuse me.
Uh-huh.
But really, I knew I was going to go off script and I didn't want them screaming in my ear. And then I could see the prompter like flashing and I just didn't even look at it. But the only thing that I made sure is there was one important question, because they wanted to promote Peacock. That was the one I think I would have gotten real trouble had I not said. So I just said the one question that was important. It was in red. Mm-hmm. And then I just skipped all the other ones.
Attaboy.
What were the other ones? Just like soft, were they like
they
softball
were
questions?
So boring. It was so boring.
Well, they didn't call Diane Sawyer to do that panel. I mean, what did they think was going to happen?
Exactly. You know? That would have been funny, though, if they did call Diane Sawyer.
So there was a comment I made about Kyle. Okay. It was no big deal. It was just I had asked Andy, his favorite housewife, and he said, you know, kind of like playing coy, like I don't have one. I'm like, yes, you do, because you've told me. And so I said it used to be Kyle because that's what he told me. I said, but maybe that's changed now that she's a lesbian. So Kyle then, she has a good sense of humor. She then responded on the red carpet, I do have orchids going to Kyle's house today.
Good.
Did we step it up? Is it a bigger arrangement than last time?
It's twice the size. It is four stems. It's the moss, succulents, the whole thing. She'll love it.
The card says, sorry, ... again. XOXO Jeff. Now I've got to get Crystal Minkoff's address.
I don't have it. No,
because I got to send her something.
I don't think you do, because she called you a cocksucker after that, and then
which makes me like her even more.
Me too. But people are like, that's a gay slur.
No, I don't.
I was laughing. I like that the three gays were all laughing.
I mean, I find it descriptive.
I honestly like. I respect her now for coming for me.
That's like the best thing Crystal's ever done.
I agree.
And I thought, you know, after a season so far, there's only been two episodes, but people are already calling her boring. You know. Mm-hmm. She's the new Teddy in that way, where everyone's like, boring.
You know what she should do? And she should call someone a cocksucker.
She should. Yeah,
and then all of a sudden, everyone will like her.
Yeah, I'm proud
of her. I like Crystal.
She called me a bitchy guy. She said, I want to be a housewife and I never will.
Yeah.
It's true. She's
good.
True.
Kind of a good read.
It's true. All of it's true.
Yeah. You know what I liked when she said it? There, you could see there was a moment where she thought, am I going to go over this cliff right now? Am I going to do this? And then she said yes, because she goes, you know, and Jeff Lewis, you know, he's a cocksucker. And I was like, good for you.
For a moment
she thought about pulling back, and she went all the way.
And she called me a cocksucker in text too.
Good.
So at least she's consistent.
I'm proud of her. We've been waiting for this Crystal.
Yes,
to come out.
I want that bitchy, combative Crystal.
Yeah.
Because I know she can be.
Yeah, because when she goes up against people, she can be really good. But I think when she's not like in a fight with someone, she just sort of sits there. And I want her to just be more proactive.
Can I ask you something about Salt Lake City? And Shane, I wanted you to watch that last scene. So the I think it was last week's episode when Monica sits down with her mom.
Oh God.
Now, I'm team. Is it Linda?
Don't say it.
Linda?
Yeah, I know Linda's got some childhood trauma. That's clear. But I just don't think we're getting the whole story, because I was looking at the edit and I remember she's like, you took my car away when you're mad at me. And she said something like, is that why I took it away or something? But then they edited
she
it.
She said, oh, now it's my fault. And then in tweets.
I feel like she doesn't, I mean.
In tweets.
I feel like she doesn't make the payments. And I think the mom takes the car back when she doesn't make the payments. That's what I think.
Was that not the most riveting 8 minutes of 2023, that scene between the mother and daughter? Like that. Just take that out of the show, write it all down, submit it to like a Lincoln Center one-act play fest, and it's going to win all the awards.
To me and my mother on the phone. Why is everybody so impressed with this scene? Does nobody have a martini-swilling crazy person?
I could not imagine calling my child a motherfucker.
I know. No. And she clarified it, too. She's like, you called me a fucker. I said a motherfucker.
Yeah. Like, I could not imagine. Like, that's... That was a lot.
Ron has been there.
Yeah, 100%.
Walmart Plus is the membership that saves you time and money on the stuff you'd expect, plus the stuff you don't, like gas. Save on gas while you drive the kids to soccer practice, plus visit your in-laws, plus venture into the wilderness, plus wherever else you want to go. Plus, take some guilt-free time on the couch, because Walmart Plus also saves you time and money with free delivery. It's perfect for ordering new remote batteries, plus more coffee when somebody finishes it without telling you, plus snacks for your movie night. Plus, save on the actual movies with a Paramount Plus subscription. Stream Top Gun, Maverick, plus Mean Girls, plus Jack Reacher, plus so much more. Because savings is what the whole Walmart Plus membership is all about. Members save on gas, plus free delivery, plus Paramount Plus, plus so much more. Start a free 30-day trial at www.walmartplus.com. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions. $35 order minimum, Paramount Plus Essential plan only, separate registration required.
Here's to the best spring ever in this season's must-have shoes. Find all the styles you need from brands you love at amazing prices right now at DSW. Update your closet with colorful sandals made for sunny days, fresh sneakers perfect for spring looks, and sporty soles ready for new adventures. Whatever you're up to this spring, DSW has the exact right pair for the occasion. Shop must-have spring shoes at your DSW store and DSW.com.
At Delta, we know Mike in 8C prefers reality TV to reality. So we provide more than 1,000 hours of in-flight entertainment. On the next flight, 8C is Mandy, a foodie. So we offer all types of food options. Because at Delta, everyone flies their own way. Delta, keep climbing.
Life is a highway. And on it, there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
So when you're at BravoCon, Ronnie, you guys talk a lot of shit about people.
Yes.
You've made a career of it. What happened? Do any of these people recognize you? Do
yes.
people? Yes. Was there any uncomfortable moments at BravoCon?
Yes. Yes, but one happened in the Four Seasons restaurant, and I feel like that wasn't really my turf. I was there having dinner with Pat Oshtool from Southern Charm.
Okay.
And so I saw this person in there, and they looked at me when I came in. I had already gotten the table, but I went out to get Pat, and when I came back, they were sat there. And I don't know if you've been to that restaurant, but the seats are like catty corner. We're shoulder touching. Mm-hmm. And I walk in, and here's this lady and her husband that I talk all this crap about. And they recoiled when they saw me, which I was so flattered by, because I've never been to BravoCon. I have no idea. Most people don't know who the hell I am. You know what I mean? So I was first very flattered. I wasn't scared. I thought I would always be scared. That's my worst nightmare, is being recognized and punched in the face.
Yeah.
But when they recoiled, I really just felt hugged. I don't know how else to explain it.
Who was it?
It was Aaron and Abe from New York.
Friends to show.
So yeah. I don't want to tell the I'm like I'm not going to say anything. That's their turf. I was basically in their backstage area, and here I'm like, yeah, it was them. But you know, she had a lot of controversial stuff. I already told you. Remember when last time I was here? That's like my least favorite one, probably.
Okay.
So they recoiled, and I just said, hey, do you want me to change tables? Because I get that this is like your thing.
You said that.
Yeah. I was like, I don't want to make you uncomfortable. And she just said, you were really mean to me. And so we ended up, you know, I won't go over the whole conversation because I guess I should have some couth. But she was really cool about telling me exactly what she felt. She did not hold back. And I didn't apologize either. And I just explained why I was accusing her of everything, why I was reading her for filth. And we actually had a really nice conversation, and it ended in a hug. So it was nice.
Yeah, I've hung out with her. I like her.
I always have to say at the end, I'm still talking shit at work when I go home. But nice to meet you. Bye.
Oh, so you're still going to talk shit about her.
Of course. Okay. I mean, she's on TV, but I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, you're not interrupting. I mean, I find that, like, we talk so much shit about people, and then we meet a lot of them, and they're just, like, so nice and so cool. So I always, like, I'm, like, off the podcast, I'm, like, the best little boy in the world. I always say, like, that's what my therapist says. That's
with
my psychological profile. I do a little dance. And I'm, like, the best little boy in the world. I'm, like, so nice, whatever. And so I always feel bad that when I run into someone who I've talked shit about, that they're like, you've talked shit about me. And then they always wind up being like really nice in real life. But, you know, Ron and I, we still talk shit on the podcast because why not?
But here, most of them are nice people, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, but people, you know, we all have bad behavior and we all make mistakes. And, you know, of course we get criticized for that, and we should, rightfully. If you're in a public eye and you do make mistakes or you make the wrong decisions, you know, I expect to be criticized.
Yeah, and we're just responding to what we see on TV, okay? Like everyone else who's watching these shows, we just have microphones in front of us. And I think we're allowed to have, like, reactions to whatever characters and story is being presented to us.
And it's what we all sign up for, right?
Yeah.
And everybody loves all of the positive comments and praise.
Yeah.
But then when you fuck up and people come after you, you know, it breaks people. And to be honest with you, yesterday, I'm used to the fucking up and having a lot of people come for me.
I was going to say, you get off on it.
I don't get off on it, but I also, it doesn't ruin my life.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? So, unfortunately, this is where I feel bad. Because if I miss, if I say something today that offends people, they're going to come after Shane. They're going to come after you, Ben, and they're going to come after you, Ronnie. Mm-hmm. And that's the part that I feel bad about. So yesterday I made comments about, you know, Stu's mom's passing. And I, you know, in hindsight, it probably wasn't my story to tell. It was his story to tell. I understand where I went wrong. I expect people to come after me. And, you know, some people are, you know, there was been a lot of opinions about it. I feel bad when they go after John Hill and MJ and Carney and, you know, and I think Carney was pretty upset last night because some of the negative comments. And she called me and I said, look, I'm sorry to drag you into all of this, you know, but when you have an opinion, you know, you are going to, when you have strong opinions, you're ultimately going to alienate people. You can't make everyone happy. I think where I went wrong was, well, first of all, I want to back up and say that, you know, Stu was telling people about his mom's passing on Thursday via, I know he was telling people because I was getting DMs about it.
I was getting
so
DMs.
So I don't follow him. I don't follow him. And I wasn't looking at his stories or anything like that. So as far as I knew, I didn't even know there wasn't an announcement already. But it didn't surprise me because I think that the, I believe, I don't even know if he has announced it. I have no idea.
He has now.
Oh, he has. Mm-hmm. I believe it was, you know, delayed because he was at BravoCon and personally, and I think, but it's, again, it's, I guess it's none of my business, but I was personally, just because he was my partner for so long, personally hurt by his decision to not go home and see his mom. I think that I'm okay to, I think I'm allowed to voice that. I probably should not have announced that his mom had passed. Maybe that was for him to do, and maybe I, you know, accelerated that. But he was telling people on Thursday.
Well,
you got DMs
just,
about
I
it.
I was getting DMs like, hey, I know they're not together, but Jeff should know this. And so I'm also blocked. I didn't know if he put a story or not, but like it was a, people were talking.
I think it's just a thing when someone's parent dies, that's just one of those moments in life where that's just off limits. Like, there are some times in life where you just, and listen, I'm a shit talker, and you know, I don't care. I'll talk at any moment.
You're right.
But I've learned, especially over the years doing this, when I'm just making shitty jokes about everything, I don't care what it is, what kind of pain it is, I'll make a joke about it. It's just my own insecurity, and it's how I deal with everything. And so when people come after me, I've just had to learn, like, there are some things that are just, that day it's off limits. You know what I mean? You can go back to that person Monday.
We weren't sure what day it happened. We think it was maybe Thursday, and I announced it on Monday, but it's not, you know, it's...
Did you learn nothing from Lisa Barlow on Salt Lake City?
I understand that I should have waited for him. What I should have done, in hindsight, and... Right now, I probably do need a minute to get my head together because I'm not totally grounded at the moment, so I haven't been making the best decisions. But I should have waited for him to announce it and then brought up the BravoCon thing. Because I just, that is something that I felt very strongly about. I don't think it was a good idea. I know that I had a lot of DMs, like people process grief in their own way. Okay, I understand that, but... he's a 42-year-old man, and I think it's, you know, in a situation like this, I think you grow up and you go and you say goodbye to your mom and you are there for your family. When my mom died, I was 18. I was a kid, and I didn't know that she was in and out of the hospital a lot. I did go on spring break. She was not in the hospital at the time. While I was in spring break, she was admitted to the hospital. She died very quickly of pneumonia. I still have that guilt, and that I brought this up yesterday. That was something out of love that I wanted to tell him, like, I've been through this. You don't want this kind of guilt. You don't, like, and to be honest with you, as a parent, I'm even more sensitive because if I had, God forbid, had a stroke or a heart attack, and my daughter didn't come see me in the hospital, that would break my heart. So I feel very strongly about the fact that he should have gone home. I will not back up. I will not change my mind. I will not apologize for that part. It is how I strongly, truly feel it would have, that was the right thing to do. And again, you know, we had calls yesterday on the after show. Oh, well, he had to go to work. No, he was not working at BravoCon. There was no job. There was no money. There was nothing. And then it's, oh, he already spent all the money and he already, no, because the VIP, The VIP tickets were given to him by Ronnie. Southwest is like $49. Like, you could have canceled. There's no reason in my mind that you that he should not have gone home. Now, the decisions I make today as a 53-year-old man are very different decisions that I would make when I was 18. But life is uncomfortable. We all do things and have to do things that we don't want to do. And we know, you know, and I understand it's scary and it's hurtful, and but you have to do it. As a mature 42-year-old man, you have to do it. However, I do apologize for outing the fact that his mom passed. That should have been done by him on his own terms, in his own time. I fucked up there. I fucked up. And I apologize for.
I'd just like to thank you, because opening this whole segment with, you know, when I say something controversial, it hurts you. It hurts you.
It hurts. You're all fucked.
It hurts Carney Wilson. Carney Wilson is at home right now. She just ruined a batch of mini cheesecakes. Thank you, Jeff.
We're going to be
I'm sorry.
The rest
for
of
all
our freaking week is
like,
going
to
be
why did you say something to Jeff Lewis when he was talking about this?
I'm really sorry about the drop in your listenership.
Yeah, thanks.
I'm sorry,
Jeff.
About the Patreon subscribers that are going to cancel today. Get ready for all of the DMs.
No kidding.
But we're excited to be a part of it.
What I will say, here's the good part about all the DMs. Because then when I start to read them, and I read them all, and most of these people are coming from a loving place that have listened to me for 6 years, I start to understand.
Yeah.
I start to read, I start to hear, and I start to understand. And I'm so fucking stubborn that 6 wouldn't be enough. It has to be 1,000.
No, it's true. No.
It has to be 1,000.
I always say people just have to take a note. People have to be okay to take a note. And I say this as someone who, like, you know, if I say something, if I misspeak, or if I say something that's out of pocket, and someone's like, Ben, you really shouldn't have said that, whatever, I'm like, get so upset. I'm like, how could they say that to me? And then I'm like, wait a second, they're probably right. And then you think, and you, it makes you, it like opens up your mind, and you sort of have to take a moment for your ego to be like, yeah, I guess every single word I say is not perfect, and I now have to learn from this. But that's good.
There's been a lot going on in the last 3 months, so I feel destabilized. Do you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm emotional. People were comparing me to Jeffrey, like Jeffrey's back, and I think it's fucking true, actually. And I was thinking this morning, I need to call Judy.
Yeah.
Judy Rosenberg. I think it's time to go see Judy. But I'm going to get my shit together, but it's going to take me a minute. It'll take me a minute.
Okay.
All right. That's well, okay. You know.
Isn't this a great day to come?
Yeah, but you know what? Yeah. Also, Jeff, I think it must be hard for you, too, because you're kind of at your best when you're unstable. So,
yeah.
it's kind of your gasoline, as, you know, just as someone who watches you and listens to you. So for the audience, in a way, it fuels you, and then, you know, you'll have a period of peace where it's like, good for you, and you do great in those periods too. But
it's like a true Real Housewife, you know.
I know. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
When you're at your most unstable, when you're at your, like, Luann de Lesseps getting arrested, that's
you
like
became
I'm
famous
almost there.
That's
the iconic moment.
You became famous on a show called Flipping Out. Okay.
Right.
So
I know, but that doesn't yes, I know. All right. Well, let me ask you. We got in our car after we left BravoCon, and it looked to me like you were walking to the Mandalay Bay. What was happening?
It looked to me like you were standing outside the talent
It looked like
entrance,
you were hitchhiking.
Trying to get selfies.
No, it looked like you were hitchhiking.
That was not the talent entrance, sir. I was walking. You have to go. Okay, in Vegas, everything is so far. I keep walking the wrong way because I'm trying to follow the Google map walking, and it never points you in the right direction, and you can't just walk around a block. You walk around a mall. There's no block. So I walked across the street, walked all the way around that damn convention center to get an Uber. I went into the garage, walked to the Uber space. I was in the wrong hotel garage. I had to go to the one next door. So I had to go walk around. So I was coming out of there like, F my life. And then an SUV pulls up and it just rolls down and you're like, get in. Like, yes.
I'm like, what are you doing? Get in the car. Where do you need
to
go?
You see me? You guys were in a totally different part than me because, you know, I was in like the peasant part, but I didn't struggle for selfies. That's not why I go
that was,
there.
That was the talent
No,
entrance.
You looked lost.
No, it was across the street
you looked
at
lost.
The Link Hotel. That was,
I was lost.
I was told Shane, I'm like, lost. Is that Ronnie?
I walk in everywhere doing? Sweaty and hot because I've been walking around Vegas in these stupid shoes. I lost some weight so I can finally fit into normal shoes in a shoe store again. So I was like, you know what I'm getting? Timberland. I can't walk
for
in
Vegas?
That crap.
For the desert?
I'm an idiot. So I'm walking around in these shoes I can't walk in. I'm tripping over everything. I'm sweating. I'm in these effing polyester shirts. I got it like Nordstrom off the rack. It was not a good time. So thank you very much for the air conditioning.
Well, I think what was great about it is that I asked you where you were going, and you said you were going to the Mandalay to gamble with Heather Gay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How was that? Did you guys win?
So much fun. She's so funny. She's so fun. We met her just through, she listens to the show. So we met her that way. And so we finally got to hang out. It was really fun. We sat at Pie Gal, which is where it's a lot. She's like, it's a slow burn, Ronnie. It's a slow burn. It's great. Everyone here is great. And the dealer hated her. Her name was Sue.
Why does Sue hate Heather?
Because Sue's just like a no-nonsense Korean lady, and she's not going to take anyone's crap, you know? And Heather's just sits at the table entertaining everyone around mm-hmm. her, and Sue's like, you're doing it wrong. You're doing it wrong this way. And she's like, geez, Sue. That's Savage Sue, everybody. What the fuck on the table? It's Savage Sue, everybody.
Sue is so what game were you playing?
Pie Gal.
What is that? I don't even know what that is.
Pie Gal.
Poker, right?
Yes, and it's, you know, I've already explained that I'm a moron, but it's this kind of poker that really is not for morons, basically. It's a kind of poker where you're playing against the dealer's low hand and their high hand, and then you've got a low hand and a high hand, and then, I don't know, you put a lot of money up and they keep taking it away from you. That's what I learned from it.
Did you win?
No.
Did Heather win?
Probably not. I would imagine not.
How long did you gamble?
2.5 hours or so.
And you didn't win anything?
No. I went at my games. I went back to Blackjack and won it.
What did you win? What did you walk with?
I walked with that night probably like 600.
Wow.
Which is not bad. Good.
Not bad. I was up, first night I was up 750, and then I won 1600 the next night. So I did pretty good. I was playing roulette.
Oh, wow. I play roulette too.
I love that game.
Yeah, I hit a couple, but I just get too greedy in roulette. You know, if I win my 36 times or whatever, I'm like, put it all on black. Yeah. Plus this. And then they take it. You know, they took one of my Timberlands off my.
We should probably never just put it all on black. You should probably never do that.
No,
well, that's how you win big. You've got to
trust
them.
You have to. I just play a lot of different numbers.
I always do like the really lame ones where it's like the 1/3, you know, odds or whatever, and I get like, you know, $2 back. I'm just like slowly but surely, you know?
Yeah.
Thanks for listening. If you want more of this, listen to Jeff Lewis Live every weekday on Sirius XM, as well as the Jeff Lewis channel exclusively on the Sirius XM app. For a 3-month free trial, go to SiriusXM.com/Jeff Lewis. Terms apply.
Is there such a thing as a traveler? Not a Delta. Because we know on one flight, Mike in 8C prefers reality TV to reality. So we provide more than 1,000 hours of in-flight entertainment. While on the flight after, 8C is occupied by Jen, whose favorite snack is tea. That's why we provide fast, free Delta Sync Wi-Fi available for SkyMiles members. Because at Delta, we know. Refill? Everyone flies their own way. Delta. Keep climbing. Free Wi-Fi available on most domestic flights. Terms of use apply.
Life is a highway. And on it, there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.